Thank you, Terry. Go ahead and dismiss Children's Church at this time. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Pastor Nichols is going to read that, but you can take a break. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please, in your Bibles. And if you did not bring a Bible, we hope that you'll borrow one of those right there in front of you for the service tonight. I'm grateful for the notes that are in the bulletins and also hand out tonight. I'm grateful for the staff who puts those together and our church secretary, Jessica Vidal, who copies those and punch holes in them and makes them available to you. I'm grateful for the men who put together the PowerPoint and put the answer up on the screen. A lot goes into it, providing these notes for you, and I hope that you will take advantage of them and use those notes. And I'm grateful. I was so excited when we started selling those notebooks. You can keep your notes in. We got 50 of them to start with. We sold out immediately. We got many more after that. And we sell them for $5. It cost the church $10. So we're not making money off them. We'll make them available to you. And I'm so excited that you like those, because it shows me not only you take notes, you want to save your notes. And that you hopefully will use them later. If you notice, my messages during this part two of Pastor Discovery class is more teaching than it is preaching. We're covering great doctrines. My friend, we have a wonderful God. We have a God that's well worth our lives, well worth our love and serving Him. And when you realize all that He's done for you, what a motivation that is for us to love Him and serve Him. For example, I have a wonderful wife. Boy, she does so much for me. She cooks some of the greatest meals. And the more she does for me, the more I want to do for her. And the more I love her. And God's the same way. He does so much for us. I mean, the great truths we cover in Scripture helps you realize all that God's done for you. And so last week we talked about sanctification. Tonight we'll talk about justification. Also, we're going to talk about in the future redemption, reconciliation, regeneration. All these are great doctrinal truths that once you understand them, you're going to help you love Him so much more, because how much He loves you. And so tonight we're going to talk about understanding justification. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Chapter 6. Let's begin in verse 9. I read through verse 11, then we'll have a word of prayer, asking for God's blessing to help us understand this great truth of what is called justification. In chapter 6, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11, "And such were some of you." In other words, he was talking to people who used to do these things. And but notice what God did for them. "Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Let's bow together, please. Father, we're looking at another great doctrine in the Bible, a teaching of what you have done for us. I pray, Father, to give us understanding, not just to have a head full of knowledge, but a heart full of love and a life full of service for you, because all that you've done for us. So, Father, make this truth come alive to us. Help us to enjoy it, appreciate it, and love you more because of it. Francis, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at several things about this great doctrine of justification and what this means. So we're going to look at number one. Hope you. How many? Everybody need a handout tonight? Phil, did you hand them all out? You need one? They're all gone. Okay. And when some people don't have them, we need to tell Jessica to make more for next week. And so, by the way, next week we have a special guest speaker in the evening service, Dr. Burbo Boudram. He's going to be with us next Sunday night. He's a pastor in Trinidad. He's at a pastor's church we went to about 2 or 3 years ago and did a vacation Bible school. We wanted to go last year because of the COVID. They shut down, and they're still shut down now. So we don't know. Our desire is to go again maybe this July and do another vacation Bible school there. He wants us to come back. And so we just need to pray it opens up to outsiders. But he'll be with us next Sunday. He's coming for a mission conference at Calvary Community Church in Tampa on Saturday and Sunday morning, but he'll be with us Sunday night. And hope you plan to be with us next Sunday night with Dr. Burbo Boudram, a great man of God. All right, let's begin with number one, the explanation of justification. The explanation of justification. Definition means to declare or pronounce righteous. Is the act of God declaring men free from guilt and acceptable to Him. What a wonderful thought. Well, God, justification means to declare or pronounce righteous. It is the act of God declaring men free from guilt and acceptable to Him. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. Most scripture will be up on the screen. You can follow along. Some of it we will turn to. And the reason we're going to look at some on the screen because we cover so much more having to turn to every single one of them. But here's what Westminster Catechism and the definition of justification. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in His sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. I like that, don't you? Let me read that again. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in His sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Now you think about the sins that was listed there. Because these sins, many will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it says, such were some of you, but you are sanctified, you are justified. And so basically they were declared righteous on the basis of faith in Christ. Further explanation. It means to justify does not mean to make righteous. It is a judicial term whereby God declares a believing sinner to be righteous before Him. It's a judicial act of God. A legal term given when those who put their faith in Christ, He declares them righteous before Him. Justification is a legal term, a good and right standing before God. In human court of law, a guilty person may be pardoned, the crime forgiven, but not paid for. However, not so in God's court of law. All sin must be paid for and punished. However, your sin was paid for and punished in a substitute. His name was Jesus. Therefore, you can be forgiven and you can be pardoned on the basis that God can declare you righteous. So that's explanation of justification. And hopefully you can fill those blanks in. Any blank you see usually is on the screen you can fill in. Number two. Now let's look at the constitution of justification. Or what comprises of believer's justification. There's four wonderful things that comprise the believer's justification. Number one, letter A, is forgiveness. How many grateful for God's forgiveness? We have a forgiving God. Where would we be if God did not forgive us? Forgiveness is a subtraction. Go with me now to Acts 13, please. Acts 13 is one verse. I'd like you to turn with me. The first thing that comprises of God's justification of a sinner is forgiveness. Is forgiveness. Acts 13:38, please. Acts 13:38. This is the first wonderful truth that makes up the believer's justification. Acts 13:38. Here it says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about the man Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Verse 39, and by him all that, what? Believe, are justified from how many things? All things. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Wonderful. You know, many of us in our past life have done things that we're ashamed of. And we wonder, can we ever become right with a holy God? And notice what it says here, and by him all that believe, it didn't say all that behave, all that believe are declared righteous from all things, not some things, not most things, not just the simple things, all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So basically, forgiveness is the first thing that comprises God's wonderful justification of the sinner. A Christian is not a pardoned criminal. He is a righteous man. He is one who has paid for his sins through through and by another, his substitute, Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died there in your stead, in your place, to pay for your sin. In God's eyes, when you receive Christ as Savior, he sees your sin paid for, and therefore he's able to forgive and to cleanse you. The next thing that comprises justification is, letter B, cleansing. Cleansing. Where forgiveness was a subtraction, cleansing is a removal. A removal. Many of you know Isaiah 1:8. I love this verse. It says, "Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as what?" What the blood of Christ does for the sinner. It makes you white and clean before God. So the first two things that comprises justification is forgiveness and cleansing. Now, there's a definition of justification that I've used several times, but it really falls short of what really justification is. You ever heard this term? The word justified means justified, never sinned. Now, that's true, but it goes further than that. Now, you can be forgiven and cleansed and be stand before God as though you never sinned. But that still doesn't mean that you're as righteous as God. The next point, which is not implied in that, that it comprises justification, is imputation. Imputation. This is where God imputes to you his righteousness. I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed, and the very righteousness of God which I need to stand in his presence is imputed to my account. Romans chapter 4, verse 6, please. I believe it'll be on the screen there for you. Is it down there? It is not. Turn with me, please, to Romans 4, please. I want you to turn there because I want you to see this wonderful truth of imputation. And I'll give you the definition of that big word. These are big words, aren't they? That many people say, whoo, what does that mean? I don't have the idea. And so this is a great truth. And because of this, it ought to cause you to love him more for what he's done for you. The third truth that comprises justification is imputation. In Romans 4, look in verse 6, please. And notice, even in the Old Testament, they understood this truth. David, the king of Israel, in chapter 4, verse 6, it mentions him. For even David also describeth the blessedness, it means the happiness of the man unto whom God, what? Imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The word imputation means to place to one's account. To place to one's account. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you are forgiven, you are cleansed, and God didn't stop there. He takes his righteousness and he places it to your account in the record books of heaven. In God's sight, the sinner, through justification, can stand before God, not only as just if he never sinned, but now as righteous as God himself. Wow. That's what God does on the basis of faith. He imputes, he places his righteousness, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. My friend, your works have nothing to do with this. Your merit, your conduct has nothing to do with you obtaining God's righteousness. It's given to you, I'm going to show you in a moment, by faith in Christ alone. So the first thing that makes that, in fact, go with me now to 2 Corinthians, please. I think that'd be on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We see here that what God imputed our sin to Christ's account, in return his righteousness is placed to our account. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it said, "For he," notice there's two personal pronouns here, "he and him," this is God the Father and God the Son. "For God the Father hath made his Son to be" what? Sin. For who? I'll write your name in there. Not my name, write your name in there. For me, for us, who knew no sin, he was without sin, that we might be made the what? The righteous of who? Of him, of God in him. What he's saying here is this. All the believer's sin were placed in Christ, to Christ's account, and he paid them in full. In turn, when we put our trust in Christ, His righteousness is put to the believer's account. And he stands there as righteous as God. And because of this, he is therefore declared righteous. In other words, let me ask you this question. When was our sin placed to Christ's account? At the cross. When Jesus hung at the cross, bearing our what? Sin is on body on the tree. There on the cross, the Bible says, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of what? Of us all. When that happened? On the cross. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. There on our cross, God took my sin, your sin, and placed it upon him. And he became sin for you, though he knew no sin. He became sin for you, and God the Father took his wrath, his anger, his judgment that you have earned, that you have deserved, and poured it out on his own son. And there on the cross, bearing your sin and shame, he paid your debt. He was buried, and he rose again. So my sin was placed to his account. And when I trust him, his righteousness is placed to my account. And I can stand before him as righteous as his very son because of what this great truth called justification. So it comprises of forgiveness, it comprises of cleansing, it comprises of imputation, and number four, letter D, it comprises of a new position. Of a new position. In Philippians 3:9, many of you know this verse, it says, and be found in him, talking about Christ, not having mine own righteousness. By the way, what does God think of your own righteousness? Isaiah 64:6, he said, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And the Bible said, and be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by what? Circle it. Faith. By faith. So it is not my works, it's not my merit, not my conduct, not my commitment of life, not my baptism, not my church membership, but my faith in the finished work of Christ. On the basis of my faith in him and his finished work, God takes his righteousness and places it in my account. In the record books of heaven, your pastor is righteous as God. And that's true of every believer. That's what God does through justification. So it's a new position. What was the old position, by the way? I'm glad you asked. There's a twofold. The old position, first of all, in Scripture, talking about in Adam. You ever heard that before? We're no longer in Adam. We are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So the old position before we were saved, we were in Adam. And in that position, my friend, we all die. But in Christ, the position you're placed in through justification, we shall be made alive. So that's an old position. Another old position is called in sin. In sin. John 8:24. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. That's the position that every unbeliever is still in. They're in Adam, they're in their sins. But when they come to Christ in faith, he forgives them, he cleanses them, he imputes his righteousness to them, and he gives them a new position in Christ. They're no longer in Adam, no longer in sin, they're in Christ. What a great truth that is. Number three. We saw the explanation and the constitution of justification. Now the condition of justification. What condition must the sinner meet to be justified before God? What condition must the lost man meet to be declared righteous before holy God? Let me give you some negative, start with, then we'll give you some positive. The negative, first of all, write it down, is not by works. Your works do not bring you into right standing before God. In Romans 4:4, you can see it on the screen. It says, but to him that worketh what? Not. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man on whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Twice it's mentioned there. This position in Christ of being forgiven, cleansed, and imputed righteous is obtained not by works. So that does not bring about right standing before God. You know what's tragic today? Most religions, even so-called Christian religions, they tell you that to be right with God, you've got to do good works. It's your works that make you right with God. My friend, it is not. It's your faith and faith alone that brings the sinner into right standing before God. That faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So the first negative is not by works. Number two, not by the deeds of the law. Not by the deeds of the law. It's not the law of Moses. You can keep all the Ten Commandments and still not be right with God. Not by the deeds of the law. In Romans 3:20, again, the verse will be on the screen. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, means declared righteous, right in his sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin. What the law does not save you, it condemns you and gives you the knowledge of sin, that you are a sinner. Paul said, I would not know now as a sinner except for the law. And what it told me, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the knowledge of sin. So, Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There are many churches, many religions that teach salvation through keeping the commandments, keeping the law. The Seventh-day Adventists teach it by keeping the Sabbath. Actually, they call it the Seventh-day Adventists, that you must keep the Sabbath to be right with God. And my friend, by we conclude that no man is justified through the deeds of the law. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident the just shall live by what? My friend, the Bible over and over again lets us know that the standing I need to be in the God's presence is given to me through faith. It's a righteous standing, a standing of his righteousness imputed to me. That's the negative. Not by works, not by the deeds of law. Now the positive. Hope you fill these in. These are the conditions the sinner must meet to be justified before a holy God. The first one, the positive, is by God. By God. By God himself. In Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Many people would ask, how could a holy God justify a guilty sinner? And the way he does it is through the sacrifice of his son. His son was judged in your place. He paid the penalty that you owe. And when you receive the payment he made for you on the cross, and you are forgiven, you are cleansed, his righteousness is imputed to your account, he places you in a new position. Therefore, he can be just and also justify of him that believeth in Jesus. And that's all through the propitiation, the payment Christ made for us. So the positive is by God. Number two, it's by God's grace. It's by God's grace. When you realize all we've spoke about so far, we see nothing all over it. It's called the grace of God. The unmerited, undeserved favor that God bestows upon the guilty sinner. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's because of God's unmerited favor that we can have this standing before God. How many would say hallelujah to that? Because of what he's done for us. Number three, the third positive. The first one, by God himself, by God's grace. Number three, by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Number four, the fourth positive is by faith. By faith. By God himself, by God's grace, by the blood of Christ, and by faith. We've seen this so far, but I'd like to look at it again. By faith. Therefore, being Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:4, we've seen this already. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In Galatians 2:16, I remember this verse, we had to memorize it in the Galatians in Bible college. What a verse it was. But look what it says. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul was writing that because there was these people called the Judaizers come behind Paul, undermine his work. And they followed behind him to go many churches he planted. And they said, what Paul taught you was true, but it was not enough. You're saved by faith, but you're kept by the works of the law. And they required circumcision for salvation. So Paul wrote a whole book to fight that false doctrine. It was called the Book of Galatians. And he says, knowing. And notice he included himself, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we, including Paul, have believed in Jesus. Why? That we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by works of the law. So the Bible says over and over again, that justification is by faith alone in Christ alone. So we saw the explanation, the constitution, the condition, and the last, and we'll wrap it up with this. Now the results. The results of justification. There are three of them we're going to look at tonight, and we'll wrap it up this evening. The first result we've seen already, but I want to look at it again, is peace with God. Is peace with God. I remember as a boy, I used to watch Westerns with my dad. My favorite was what was the one we watched all the time? We got The Rifleman. The Rifleman. I love The Rifleman. And there are many others like that. But I love those. And I remember many times a bad man would pull out his gun and he'd tell a man, said, you better make your peace with God. You're going to shoot him. And of course, they would imply you need to get your life right and behave yourself if you want to have peace with God. My friend, it's not our life that makes us peace with God. That's our faith in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. In other words, that brings not only justification, but I have peace through the blood of his cross with God through faith in his finished work. Letter B, the second result. Hope you're writing this down. Here's what I want you to do. You say, Pastor, well, we'll cover a lot here. Hope you write these down. Hope you put it in your notebook. And maybe somebody's going to ask you, can you tell me what justification is? Oh, I got that in my notebook. And you go there and get a thorough understanding of that and share it with someone else and impress them with your Bible knowledge on this wonderful truth. The results, peace with God, number, letter B, salvation from God's wrath. Salvation from God's wrath. And again, a verse we looked at already. It says, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The wrath of God poured out on the sinner is what we are saved from because that wrath was poured out on his son. There on the cross, bearing our sin and shame, God's wrath poured out on him. Someone said this. If you are in a forest and the forest is on fire, and you realize that if you don't get help, you don't look for some place for help, you're going to perish in the fire. Someone said, where's the safest place to go? Go where the fire's already burned. it won't burn twice in the same place. When God's wrath has been poured out on sinners, where's the safest place to go? Go where the wrath has already been poured out. Go to the cross. That's where His wrath was poured out, on His Son. And when we go to the cross, it will not be poured out there again, because His payment on the cross satisfied the wrath of God. Therefore, the sinner can go free. The peace with God, salvation from God's wrath, and lastly, is we're no longer under God's condemnation. No longer under God's condemnation. In Romans 8, 1, it says, there is therefore no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's that position you're placed in because of justification. There's therefore no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a great truth. And again, I know that's a lot there. We covered so much, and if you probably didn't write it down, you don't remember it all. But I hope that you did. And I want to encourage you sometime this week, take time out and go back over it. Look at these verses. Meditate on what God's done for you, what God's on behalf of the lost sinner, so we can spend eternity with Him. Justification is where a holy God declares a guilty sinner perfect, righteous in His sight, all because of what Christ did for us. Close your Bibles, please. How many know John 3:18? You know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The unbeliever is not waiting to be condemned. I think he's condemned already. He's waiting for the sentence to be carried out. But the Bible said, now therefore there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You're not condemned if you're saved, if you're justified, because Christ was condemned in your place. And because of His payment on the cross, you will not be condemned of your sins, because Christ did that for us. What a wonderful God we have. Again, I call these motivational truths. When I go over this, I went over this a bunch of times this week. I put it together to share with you. You know what it calls me to do? I want to love Him more. I want to serve Him more. I want to do more for Him and see all that He's done for me. Because what He's done for me, I'm going to heaven. Not by any good that I've done or anything I ever could do, because what He's done for me. He died for me. He paid my sin debt. He was buried and rose again. And the Bible said, when I, by faith, receive the payment made for me, I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. He places His righteousness to my account and places me in a position called in Christ. All because of His grace. All because of who He is. And how much He loves us. Oh, that we might leave here determined so much more to serve Him. Let's bow together, please. Father, thank You for this wonderful truth taught in the Scriptures of justification. We saw that the Corinthian believers, we list the many sins that they've done. Because of these, the Bible says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But He went on to say, and such were some of them. But they have been washed. They have been sanctified. They have been justified in Christ. Father, what great truths these are. May we cherish them. May we meditate on them. May we relish them because of all that Jesus did for us. May we serve Him as a response. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.